Ryan, the holidays are near, and one of the very first holidays is Black Friday. You know what that means. You need to go to homefieldapparel.com. They are going to run a number of deals on Black Friday, and Gopher Apparel will be on sale.
I know you're listening. You're a Gopher fan. You have other Gopher fans in your life. If you're also looking to maybe say, I don't know, treat yourself, homefieldapparel.com. Click on the Minnesota tab. Look at all the latest and greatest unique designs, whether it's the bomber jacket, sweatshirt, sweatpants, whatever it may be. Treat yourself for one of these Black Friday deals. And when you get the checkout, use promo code GG23 to save 15% off your first order.
And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buehr.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to Ohio State Week as your Golden Gophers take on the undefeated Ohio State Buckeyes. Somehow went down in the college football playoff rankings, which if you pay attention to them at all before the final week, you are just giving into what they want. It is a television show. It is a reality show. None of it makes sense. And I'd argue some of it doesn't always make sense until the final week anyway. But Ohio State goes from number one to number two in the polls, Luke. Not that it incredibly matters, but yet another game for Minnesota where they're going to be facing quite a stout opponent.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're pretty good.
You think?
No, I think they're the best team in college football. I don't think there's really much argument. I mean, I think you can make an argument for Michigan as well. We saw them, but I don't know. I just feel like Ohio State really has figured something out on the defensive side of the ball. We'll get into this later, but their identity is so much different than years past, and they still have the explosion and arguably the best receiver. Maybe outside of Oregon at Ohio State, he is phenomenal.
You are watching way too much Northwest football if you think there's a receiver better in the country than Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm sorry. I vote for the Heisman Trophy. Oh, good for me. It's hard for me to say that there's a more impactful player, especially he's the best receiver in the country to me.
Yeah.
So
I agree that he is the best receiver in the country.
He's in a tier by himself, Luke.
Okay. I personally think that Troy Franklin's also pretty good. Just saying.
They are both great players. I'm not disputing that. I would just say, boy, I think you're going to get to watch this weekend how good Marvin Harrison is.
I gotta pull up their comp numbers because, I mean, they're similar. Because Franklin, I pulled his numbers up because I was like, he's real good. He's currently at 60 receptions, over 1,000 yards, 11 touchdowns. I gotta find Harrison Jr. It's got to be, he probably is better, but.
I mean, they might both be first round picks, but the point we're trying to make here, folks, is Ohio State lives up to the number two in the country billing. They are a very, very good football team. And unfortunately for Minnesota, they're, your Golden Gophers are pretty banged up.
This is ridiculous. Actually, their stats are so similar. Marvin Harrison Jr., 59 receptions, just over 1,000 yards at 1,063, and 12 touchdowns. Their numbers are so similar. That's crazy. All right, I still think Harrison's better. We're not here to debate that. That's not what we're here to debate. Let's talk about injuries, if we can. Darius Taylor, does he play? Does he not play? It seems to be a question week in and week out. I gotta say, man, seems like, I don't know. It just seems like I'd hope this would be the week, but who knows?
Yeah, I'm not optimistic Darius Taylor returns. I'm almost getting to a point where I'll believe it when I see it. I'm hopeful potentially for that Wisconsin game, but I don't think you're going to see him make a return this weekend. Well, from talking with Greg Harbaugh today with the media, he talked about how Zach Evans had a great day of practice.
Good.
So Sounds like Zach Evans is going to be able to return after missing the second half against Purdue. He got injured in that second quarter, did not return. So I would imagine you're going to see a duo of Jordan Newbin and Zach Evans in this game. Cody Lindenberg, I would be pretty surprised if he played in this game. I think the point I want to make here is, and I know some fans aren't going to want to hear this, I think Minnesota is going to play it very cautiously with injuries, considering Wisconsin is next week, and that game has a much higher win probability than winning in Columbus against the number two team in the country. And I think for them, maybe the thought process would be Darius Taylor and Cody Lindenberg, if they're on the fence for Ohio State, we're absolutely going to lean towards the side of caution because they're going to need them if they are going to keep the axe for the third straight year.
Okay.
And or even like Maverick Baranowski.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, there's a lot of things that we don't know, and welcome to PJ Fleck injury.
Yeah. So we'll wait for the 2 hour report. Any injuries on the Ohio State side that we should note?
I mean, not to me. I know from talking with the Ohio State guys, they made the comment, especially with the big game next weekend, if and when Ohio State does get a 2 or 3 score lead in this game, they're probably going to pull starters and coast because they know how valuable that game is next weekend, mm-hmm. and that their backup young 4 and 5 star players even going against Minnesota's probably still give them a viable chance to hold the lead, if not extend it. So that's one thing to note when looking at the game this weekend.
All right, so let's quickly talk about when Minnesota is on offense. Frankly, Ryan, it's going to be a tall task. No question, this Ohio State defense is phenomenal. There's just no ifs, ands, ors, or buts about it.
Yeah, I'd say Ohio State's defense is pretty good, Luke. They're allowing 9.7 points per game in conference play. That's second only behind Michigan. Hell, they've only allowed 6 touchdowns in 7 Big Ten games. Like, that has been, you noted it in the open, and you're completely right. What is the biggest difference between the 2022 and 2023 Ohio State team? Yeah, it sucks to not have NFL Rookie of the Year front runner C.J. Stroud, but the difference with this team is they have been exponentially better on defense in year 2 of Jim Knowles, and that's why they are a legitimate college football playoff contender.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, they're only giving up 9.9 points per game. You know, they're only giving up 112 yards rushing. They're only giving up 149 yards passing. This is just going to be a tall test for the Gopher offense. But ultimately, you know, if given opportunities, they're just going to have to find ways to execute, and field goals aren't going to cut it. You got to get touchdowns if you're going to have if the opportunity presents itself.
The only thing that I would be angry about in the outcome of this game is if Fleck offensively just mails it in. And I'm not saying Harbaugh, I'm saying Fleck. And I'm saying Fleck for a reason. Is if we just see the conservative play calls and not playing to win and just playing to be healthy for Wisconsin, well, then what was the point of even playing this game at this point? I just want to see them play hard for 60 minutes on offense. They've scored, I think, 27, 26, and 30 points in their last 3 Big Ten games, which is much to the chagrin of this fan base for whatever reason.
Yeah, you pointed out to me over text that they're actually the top scoring Big Ten West team so far in Big Ten play. Is that still accurate?
They were.
Okay.
They were heading into the game last week, and then they scored 30 points.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, Purdue scored 49, and then Illinois scored, 48?
Sure.
So they're now sitting in 7th in the Big Ten, 3rd in the Big Ten West at 21 points per game. Illinois is at 23, Purdue's at 22. But this is a Big Ten offense that has scored like 28 points on average over the last 3 games, yet everybody wants to fire the offensive coordinator again, which,
yeah
Luke, let's get Ethan Kaliak-Manis's 4th offensive coordinator in 4 years just to really complete the Adam Weber cycle.
Yeah, no kidding. Absolutely. It'll be interesting to see how the Gopher offense goes at this game. It's obviously a tall task against a really good defense. But in the end, you know, you have to score points to win. And so you have to be able to execute. That's just the name of the game. Longtime sponsor of the podcast, the Burns Insurance Agency, Ryan, has been able to save listeners money going into this holiday season by finding them, you know, whether that's new car insurance, new home insurance, you know, maybe it's that snowmobile or ATV. You know, they're just, Bill is just helping prepare people for the holidays.
He is, and he's had a handful of you call him in the last couple of weeks, which good on you for taking advantage of that, because I can tell you, those listeners are very happy. They saved hundreds of dollars on their home and auto by switching themselves to the Burns Insurance Agency, an independent insurance agent here located in Oakdale, Minnesota. Once again, why is it important he's an independent insurance agent? Because he's got access to over 20 different insurance companies to get you the best coverage at the best price. I mentioned it earlier. He's already saved a handful of listeners in the last couple of weeks, hundreds if not thousands of dollars, switching their home and auto to an independent insurance agent who's also a gigantic Gopher fan. So if you're looking for some extra cash here, head into Black Friday, heading into the holidays, check out your insurance policies, whether it's your home, your auto, your commercial, whatever it may be. Get a free quote today. Go to insurancebyburns.com or email him today, bill@insurancebyburns.com.
Ryan, let's talk about when the Gophers are on defense. I think there's no hiding the fact that Ohio State has been a dynamic offense during the Ryan Day tenure. This season, they're averaging 33.3 points. They're averaging, 138 yards rushing per game. And then passing, they're averaging 290 yards. Conversely, you know, Minnesota is giving up 25.8 points per game. Rushing, they're giving up an average of 137 yards per game, and passing, they're giving up 226. Ryan Day offenses historically have been quite explosive, Ryan. This year, maybe not nearly as explosive, but I don't think there's any hiding the fact that Minnesota of late has been struggling with giving up explosive plays. And I expect, you know, that's where they're going to be try and exploit the score for defense.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because Ohio State quarterback Kyle McCord is coming off the best game of his career, the best game of his season, where last week against Michigan State, he completed 77% of his passes for 335 yards and three scores. He's been better than what you would think. That's what I'll say, is he's got, a 20-4 touchdown to interception ratio. Now, Pro Football Focus does have him, I believe, with 14 turnover-worthy plays, and so he obviously doesn't have that many turnovers. But this is an Ohio State offense that I would imagine on Saturday, you're going to see a lot of Mr. Travion Henderson. Who's that? Their number one running back. He's finally healthy. And now that he's healthy, he's one of the best in the Big Ten. He's currently number one in the conference, Luke, with 6.3 yards per carry. And he's got the second highest rushing grade among all Big Ten running backs. But I know everybody's just only going to be watching the game to watch future top five overall draft pick, future fantasy football stud, Marvin Harrison Jr., but they've also got a couple of 4- and 5-star guys. Tight end, Cade Stover, other wide receiver by the name of Emeka Abuka, but Harrison Jr. is the lead. I mean, he's a future Heisman finalist in a couple weeks, leads the Big Ten in receiving yards and touchdowns, is the best contested catch winner in the conference. I mean, he's no Troy Franklin, if you ask Luke Buehr.
No, he's good.
I think that Marvin Harrison Jr. fella's got a pretty good future. So if there's going to be one spot Minnesota can exploit, Luke, their offensive line is not Goliaths, or they're not incredible, I would say.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the thing that if Michigan does prevail over Ohio State next weekend, it's going to be because Michigan's front is better than Ohio State's front. And that's where I haven't been incredibly impressed with their offensive line. They obviously look really pretty. But if Minnesota's defensive line comes to play in this game, because they did not come to play last week, and Joe Rossi even talked about that with the media today, that they did not come to play last week, and that was disappointing. If they come to play and they get some pressure on the quarterback, we've seen good things happen. But it's going to be a tall task to try and limit those explosive plays from some of the best athletes in the entire Big Ten.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because we've been able to see Ohio State win in a variety of ways. They've obviously won a close game against Notre Dame, 17-14. They've also blown out teams of late. Obviously, the win over Michigan State, 38-3. They've run the ball maybe a little more. There's this narrative that Kyle McCord isn't very good, but if you look at the stats, I mean, he has been good.
He's just not C.J. Stroud, which is fine for Ohio State.
Exactly.
We have Marvin Harrison Jr. and Emeka Ibuka and Travion Henderson.
Yeah.
Like, C.J. Stroud was a multi-year starter, and Kyle McCord's in his first year.
Exactly.
And I think he's gotten a lot better from game one to game 10.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And the reality of this is this Ohio State fan base and this Ohio State offense and defense, like, they are focused on winning this game, but they also have their eyes to next weekend, right, against Michigan. And so if you're the Gopher defense, you got to hope that you can be opportunistic as they've been all season, with the exception of the Purdue game, and find ways to get forced turnovers, Ryan, because if you can't force turnovers, I don't think that the Gophers really have much of a chance.
They have been doing that, to your point. In the three games since the bye week heading into the Purdue game, they'd forced 8 turnovers in 3 games. Last week in the Purdue game, 79 total points scored, 0 turnovers. That was my favorite Luke Buehr stat of the day. And you're right, a lot of points, no turnovers. And if you're not going to force any turnovers, you're not going to have a shot at an upset here.
Yeah, the reality is you have to play probably your best game of the year, no question. If you're going to find a way to win, and you have to be able to force turnovers. And I'm with you, that defensive line has to be disruptive, Ryan. Ryan, we know that many people are going to be traveling over the Thanksgiving holiday. And if you happen to be hopping on an airplane, maybe hopping in a long car ride, and you've got your earbuds with, it's very important that you have comfort. But you also have maybe that noise isolation from the airplane or from the family member. So make sure that you have Comply Foam earbud tips before you head out for your travels. You can thank us later, much like my brother-in-law has done just this week, Ryan.
Or both of our wives. I mean, to me, it's the ideal holiday gift where if you don't know what to get your significant other, or you have a younger, you know, if you have a son or daughter, and you know that they always got the AirPods in, or they have their Beat Pros in, and you're thinking to yourself, this would actually be something they'd really enjoy. Why? Because silicone tips suck.
They suck.
You're constantly adjusting. And that's where these Comply Foam memory foam tips are game changers. I mean, they have completely changed the way that I'm able to listen to my earbuds. I've already invested so much money into them. It only helps. And so what I want you to do, support this Minnesota company. Go to complyfoam.com. Figure out what your spouse, your son or your daughter, your brother-in-law has for earbuds. You'll see a gigantic drop-down of different options, different brands. Order them some Comply Foam memory foam tips. And when you get to checkout, use the promo code GG23 and save 20% off your order. That is complyfoam.com. Get these memory foam tips today. Promo code GG23 at checkout saves you 20%.
All right, let's get to the facts and figures of this game, Ryan. This is a 3 p.m. Central kickoff on the 18th of November. It will be on BTN. Ohio State comes in 10-0, 7-0 in conference. Minnesota comes in 5-5, 3-4 in conference. The over-under for this game, as I see it now, Ryan, is 27.5 in favor of Ohio State. The line is 27.5 in favor of Ohio State. The over-under is 49.5. If we take a quick look at the weather for this 3 p.m. kick, it looks like a gorgeous day to play college football. It should be about 48 degrees at kickoff, dropping down to somewhere about 41. Doesn't look like the wind is going to be a big factor. Doesn't look like there should be a lot of rain or a lot of chance of rain as well. Should just be a great opportunity to play football. I don't think the weather conditions will play much of a factor at all. It should be a great day for football, and let's hope it's a great day for a massive upset.
Well, if that's going to happen, my number one key to the game on offense is you got to stay out of what has been your Achilles heel all year in Greg Harbaugh's offense, second and third and long situations. Why? Well, to begin with, no team in the Big Ten has allowed less touchdowns in conference play than Ohio State. They've only allowed 6 touchdowns in 7 Big Ten games. And their defense, as we've talked about, frankly, has been the story of the year for them. They've only allowed 9.7 points per game this fall compared to last year. They were giving up more than double that at 20.9 points per game. How have they turned it around? Well, I'm glad you asked. The Buckeyes have completely switched in the explosive play allowed category. Last year, they allowed 52 plays of 20 or more yards against their defense. That was 48th nationally, just above average. This year, in that same category, they rank 4th nationally in explosive plays allowed, with only 23 plays allowed of 20 or more yards. They've almost cut it in half. Now we'll see how that continues to trend. So if Minnesota's going to score points in this game, I have a hard time believing it'll be a quick scoring drive. Ohio State just doesn't allow those type of plays, or they haven't recently. Luke, the last touchdown drive that Ohio State allowed on 5 plays or less came on October 7th, which was 6 games ago heading into this one. So the key is Minnesota's going to have to sustain drives, and you're going to have to lead to points. And if that's going to happen, you got to be really good on early downs. You just don't want to be in second and third and long situations against an Ohio State front that Greg Harbaugh described today as the twitchiest between Michigan and Iowa, which obviously have very good fronts, because Ohio State's defense has been death to opposing offenses in these second and third and long spots. Oh, by the way, they're currently the number one rated defense in the Big Ten during conference play on third down. They're only allowing 26.4% of them to be converted. So if Harbaugh's offense is in that spot all day, it's going to be really long. So with an already struggling defense on the other side of the ball, you're going to have to sustain drives on offense. Number two, and the important part for the Gopher defense, is you have to stop giving up these cataclysmically horrible explosive plays. In non-Michigan losses for the Gophers in Big Ten play this year, the theme has been one thing, and that's defensive gaffes. It's allowing explosive plays. What's the primary reason Minnesota's lost 3 Big Ten games in which they've scored 26, 30, and 27 points? Explosive plays. In 3 losses to Illinois, Purdue, and Northwestern, you've allowed 17 different plays of 20 or more yards. And now they're going to be facing a college football offense that ranks 28th in college football in generating those chunk plays. Why? Because Kyle McCord, he's been playing better than you think. I mentioned earlier in his last game against Michigan State on Saturday, he completed 77% of his passes for 335 yards and 3 scores. Their best back, Travion Henderson, is healthy, leads the conference with a 6.3 yards per carry average. Second highest Pro Football Focus rushing grade among all Big Ten running backs. And then, oh, by the way, you got 3 of the best pass catchers in college football, like they always do. Marvin Harrison Jr., Cade Stover, and Emeka Abuka. It's just, if Minnesota is going to stop giving up these horrible explosive plays, I'm looking at the Gopher defensive line. Why? Because linebacker, we know what they're banged up. We know that the safeties haven't been a strong suit for them, specifically the strong safeties. And if you can't get pressure on Ohio State, they're going to sit back there, and Marvin Harrison and Emeka Abuka and Cade Stover are going to eventually get open. So that's the key. You have to generate pressure. If you do not generate pressure, Ohio State's athletes are too good, and those explosive plays are going to continue to happen. And then finally, my last key to this game is a plea to the head coach, PJ Fleck. Don't play conservative as a significant underdog.
Yeah.
You haven't beat Ohio State in 23 years. You're a 4-touchdown underdog, according to Las Vegas, and you're coming off your worst defensive performance in years. So how about this? Play like you have nothing to lose, because you truly don't. No one's expecting this game to be close, let alone the Gophers to pull off an improbable upset. So please don't let this be a game that we look back on Saturday night and say the head coach's fingerprints were all over the offensive game plan. Because last week against Purdue, we saw them play as loose as we've seen all year, because Fleck realized that defense wasn't going to get any stops at any point. Play like that again against Ohio State and take your chances.
Yeah, I think maybe a last key for this game, Ryan, would be obviously Ohio State and their fans are looking forward to the, you know, the eventual matchup with Michigan. There's an opportunity that they're maybe overlooking this. And they know that that could be a fact, right? Like that is probably their Achilles heel in this matchup in general, is that they've overlooked the Gophers. If you can find a way to have doubt creep in for them at some point, that's to your advantage. And the only way that you can do that is to play with reckless abandon, with nothing to lose, because you literally have nothing to lose in this situation. So let's quickly get to the prediction, and I want to pull up our stats here real quickly on the season, Ryan. You and I are really neck and neck against the spread. You are 4-5-1. I'm also 4-5-1 relative to the over under. I'm 4-6. You're 5-5. And then straight up, we're both 7-3. A reminder that the over under for this game is 49.5, and Ohio State is favored 27.5 points. So, I think real quickly, I'll go first. Is that cool?
I just want to note, I do this for a living and you don't, yet we have like the exact same Vegas betting record, which makes me feel very sad, but also think it's really hard to bet on games and be consistently successful.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend anybody take our betting advice. You'd probably be about even at this point. You'd maybe be a little under, but you wouldn't be doing very well. Okay, so generally speaking, if you look at the advanced stats, Ohio State is phenomenal. If you think back to that 2020 season kickoff, or 2021 season kickoff, that defense for Ohio State wasn't particularly good. They gave up some explosive plays. You know, I can remember before Mo got injured, a really long run on a fourth down. You know, a couple of passing plays that were fairly big, but the avalanche that was their offense was too much for the Gopher defense. This Ohio State team, they are much better defensively. You've already pointed that out, Ryan. If they have a weakness, which I don't think that they do, it might be their rushing game. But I think part of that has been Travion Henderson not being in the lineup consistently. I do think that this might be an opportunity for them to work on their running game. We saw that the Gophers struggled to stop Purdue, who put up more than 300 yards rushing. We know the weaknesses they have at linebacker, so it wouldn't surprise me if they try and run the ball here and, you know, establish some rhythm there going into the last week against Michigan, especially if they have a lead. So I will go with a win for Ohio State. I will go 38-10, and that, Ryan, is a Ohio State cover, but an under.
Well, I'm changing my prediction because it's very similar to that. The only thing I would note is special teams-wise, Pro Football Focus ranks Ohio State as the fifth best in the Big Ten in terms of special teams
okay.
unit.
I thought you were going to say nation, but okay, Big Ten.
83.9 grade. Minnesota ranks dead last in the Big Ten in special teams grade. And as we sit here with two games to go, the Gopher special teams ranks 65th of 68 Power 5 teams, according to Pro Football Focus. So the Buckeyes are really good in kickoff coverage. I think they rank second in net kickoff. They've only missed two field goals in conference play. Their punter's pretty bad, but I don't think that's going to matter. So here's where I'm at. Ohio State was the number one team in the country. Now they're ranked number two because of TV ratings. And they've just been so good on defense. I mean, their offense is also averaging over 30 points a game in conference play. So unless you think this depleted linebacker room gets healthy enough to slow down Ohio State, I just have a hard time thinking that Minnesota's offense can sustain drives when other Big Ten teams who are healthier haven't been able to do that. So if you think Minnesota can win this game, here's how it happens. The Gopher defensive line forces pressure. Minnesota gets multiple turnovers, and they turn those into touchdowns.
Yep.
Minnesota, if they win this game, cannot allow more than 24 points because no one has been able to score more than, I think, 17, 20 maybe against Ohio State this year. So if you give up more than 24, you're not going to have a shot. So I'm going to say Minnesota doesn't get it done. I'm going to say the number two Ohio State Buckeyes score 41 points Minnesota scores 9. So that would be an Ohio State cover, and that would be an over.
All right. Well, we're going to diverge somewhere here in our stats.
I figure I got nothing to lose at this point. I want to be able to beat you.
Yeah.
I got to be different if that's going to happen.
Absolutely. Okay. Let's get a quick ad, and then we'll preview some of the Big Ten games. Team Dinkytown Real Estate Group just gave away a couple Gopher basketball tickets to our listeners, which was a very, very nice offer. But more importantly, they're giving away a portion of the sale of a home to Dinkytown athletes to support Gopher Athletics. Again, 1% of the home price sale goes to Dinkytown Athletics. That could be men's basketball. It could be women's hockey. It could be softball. It could be volleyball. Doesn't matter. You can make that designation when you work with them, when you buy or sell. And you know what? They've got a ton of experience. So you should reach out to them today.
You should. We mentioned it. They sold their first home for $50,000 over asking. And yes, as Luke noted, 1% goes to Dinkytown Athletes, the sport of your choice, or even all sports if you want. So if you're a Gopher fan and you already don't have a realtor and you're about to sell your house and you're thinking to yourself, how can I help the university and also help myself get the most bang for my buck? TeamDinkytown.com or call them today at 612-250-8562.
All right, Ryan, again, there are no buys this week. Many a games to be able to cover, so we'll get into those. So number 3, Michigan, will be at Maryland. This game will be on Fox. It'll be a 11 a.m. kick. The over-under for this one is 50.5, Michigan favored by 19.
How much is Michigan looking ahead to this game? Next weekend against Ohio State is my question. We know Ohio State likely is, and it probably won't matter against Minnesota, but if Michigan gets off to a slow start on the road, that's where Taulia Tagovailoa could have a day. Now, I will believe it when I see it, considering the way that Michigan's defense just continues to come at you for 60 minutes every single game. Plus, we saw Michigan's offense run the ball 29 straight times to end the game against Penn State. I think Michigan survives and when sets up the matchup that everybody's been looking for, 11-0 Michigan versus 11-0 Ohio State next weekend.
All right. Rutgers is traveling to Happy Valley where they will take on the Penn State Nittany Lions.
Who are looking for yet another offensive coordinator.
Yeah, Luke. I did see that. He has now fired how many offensive coordinators has he had? Has he fired all of them? No, Moorhead left, right?
Yeah. Moorhead left to go to Oregon, and now he's at Akron. So I wonder if he comes back to be the offensive coordinator.
Oh, interesting. That's interesting.
I mean, there is so much time to talk coaching carousel. Heck, we started this. We talked for a half hour, me filling you in on everything.
Yeah. You're getting me up to speed on, all that could happen in the coaching carousel. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But this game, FS1, 11 a.m., let's see here. Over under 41.5. Penn State by 20.5. Rutgers is already bowl eligible.
They are, and they just got shut out last weekend in Iowa City. So can they rebound against the twitchy athletes of Penn State? I have a hard time believing that. I think this is probably going to be an under to me. It screams something like 27-7, something like that, where Penn State just does enough, and yet again they have a double-digit point win, yet every Nittany Lion fan wants to fire James Franklin.
All right. Indiana is going to be hosting Michigan State. Both teams are 3-7, 1-6 in conference, so something is going to have to give in this situation. The Fighting Tom Allens are favored by 3.5 with an over-under of 47.5. This game is 11 a.m. on BTN, by the way.
This is the most 11 a.m. BTN game I think I've witnessed at any point this year with both teams not having a shot. Both teams, we'll see if Tom Allen does make it out of the season with that $20 million buyout that Luke Buehr astutely never pointed out to me prior to making our bet. I mean, it's a pick 'em. I truly don't know which way this thing could go because Indiana has been fighting their tail off these last few games, and I'll give them that. I mean, they have played as hard as they possibly can against Penn State, Wisconsin, where they got the win. Then obviously last weekend in that heartbreaker to the John Paddock-led Illinois team. I'm going to say your guy Tom Allen gets it done at home.
All right. Yeah. Got to root for him. Okay. Northwestern plays host to Purdue. Northwestern will be looking to become bowl eligible. They're 5-5, 3-4 in conference. Purdue is 3-7, 2-5 in conference. The over-under for this game is 46.5, but Purdue is favored by 3 on the road in Evanston.
And David Braun elevated to the permanent head coach today, Luke.
Yeah, big news. I think well-deserved.
Title taken off. And yep. So I would imagine at the end of the season, he's going to probably have to let go of all the Pat Fitzgerald staff that knew everything, and he's going to have to hire his brand new staff. But what a job he's done. I mean, you could arguably call him the Big Ten Coach of the Year for everything that he's done to get that team where they've been. To Luke's point that he's probably going to point out, their streak of loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win continues. So if that's the case, I think Vegas has this line right. But I would also say for Gopher Bowl purposes, if Minnesota does get in on a 5-7 bowl game, which, yes, I would imagine they would accept it, there are two Big Ten teams above them. That is Northwestern and Wisconsin. So if all three of them finish 5-7, it comes down to APR. Northwestern and Wisconsin are above them. So if Northwestern wins this game, they get taken out of that 5-7 equation. But we'll see if Northwestern can get there. Obviously, they're not a favorite at this weekend, and I would imagine they're not going to be a favorite next weekend against Illinois either. But it's certainly a very Big Ten West game, Luke.
All right. The first 2:30 game of the afternoon, or I should say mid-afternoon game, will feature the Iowa Hawkeyes, 8-2, 5-2 in conference, playing host to the Illinois Fighting Illini, who are looking to get bowl eligible at 5-5, 3-4 in conference. Obviously, I think we've seen the news that Cooper DeJean is out for the remainder of the regular season, maybe back for a bowl game. But that's obviously a big blow to Iowa. The over-under for this game is 30.5. Iowa favored by 3 at home, Ryan.
And Illinois isn't going back to the folk legend, John Paddock. I think Brett Bielema announced today that they're going back to Luke Altmaier, which I guess makes sense for them. Bielema talked about how injury isn't going to force him to not put the starter back in. And so that's where Altmaier is going to be going back to. But you note, the big note here is Cooper DeJean is out. And the way Kirk Ferentz's statement read tonight, I would not imagine he plays in the bowl game or in Indianapolis, whatever it may be. And so the injury bug for Iowa continues with Cade McNamara, Eric Gall, Luke Lachey, and now Cooper DeJean.
Yeah.
And the question is, can Bielema get over the hump here against the Iowa Hawkeyes at home to achieve that bowl eligibility?
Yeah, what a turnaround by Illinois, for sure.
Iowa wins, they seal up the West.
Yep, for sure. Okay, last game, 6:30 on NBC, will feature the 5-5, 3-4 in conference Wisconsin Badgers, facing another 5-5, 3-4 Nebraska Cornhuskers. Again, this game in Camp Randall, a 6:30 kick. The over-under is 36.5. Wisconsin favored by 4.5 in this one.
I still can't believe that Nebraska game last week where they just kept turning the ball over in key spots in that fourth quarter, which led to their demise against Maryland, where Maryland won a game they shouldn't have won. I think Nebraska wins this game outright. Why? Because I think Nebraska's front is better than Wisconsin's front. I'm skeptical how healthy Braylon Allen is. I think Tanner Mordecai is going to be a little turnover prone here. But the question to me then becomes, can Nebraska's offense, which is even more inept through the passing game than anyone else, can they move the ball enough? But I think it comes down to a weird 16-13 type of game, Luke. And I think Matt Rhule's team finally gets out ahead.
All right. Well, we want to thank you all for listening to this preview edition. We will be back to break it down, win, lose, or draw, or whatever might happen. It should be fun. Please continue to support our sponsors. We appreciate that, and it's just been really fun doing this, no matter the outcome in this roller coaster season. Again, thank you for listening, and go Hawks.